League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Here we are, Mr.
We certainly
Perry.
Are.
It's already well into the new year now.
Yep.
So all this little Happy New Year services, all the Christmas stuff has happened and come and gone. And so now we have to think about what to look forward to for the rest of 2018, don't we?
Listen, the minute we get into a new year, a couple of weeks into the new year, do you know what I look to? I look forward to Cheltenham.
Cheltenham.
Because Cheltenham is one of the
Isn't that
great...
in March or something?
It's usually middle of March.
Yeah.
It's usually March the 15th.
Yeah, well, that's a long way off.
It's not, though. You've got to get your planning done, okay? So middle of January, middle of February, you know, 8 weeks or something like that,
okay? There's two festivals in Cheltenham, isn't there? There's one in the autumn as well.
Yeah, the one in autumn is a meeting,
right.
But the festival itself is in March. Okay,
because I'm sure I've been to both, and I guess the March one is the one that I remember as being the bigger event.
It is the Cheltenham Festival, 40,000 people a day. The one in the autumn is, you know, a meeting and sponsored by, you know, great bookmakers and all that kind of stuff. But the world famous event is the Cheltenham Festival. It's called the Festival, it's not even called the Cheltenham Festival.
Right.
And so if we're going to make plans there to go with
some of our friends,
well, I'm going to be talking to people who with whom we have associations about getting down there and getting into...
Well, to be honest, I'm not sure if I want to keep doing it because, I mean, the number of brain cells that I've lost going to Cheltenham with you and staggering around having drunk an awful lot of alcohol and then coming all the way back to London in the same day is quite prodigious.
And then going straight into a five-star hotel to spend another 3 hours in a cocktail bar, as I recall.
Well, we certainly done it a couple of times where we worked all the way through the night.
That's right.
Then went straight to Paddington Station.
That's right.
Sat in a sort of a first-class lounge, had a bit of breakfast. Then got on a train, had some champagne.
Yeah.
One of the times we went, I seem to remember that we had to stop in Swindon to change.
We did.
And then we had to get on another train. You'd booked ridiculously expensive tickets, right?
Yeah.
And we were going first class. Then we got on the second train, came. There was no first class.
Not only was there no first class, it was a rattler train.
And there were no seats.
There were no seats. We were in the goods wagon with a nutty Scotsman.
Who was drinking beer, wasn't he?
Drinking beer. He had tattoos.
A can of beer. He had a bike,
didn't
he, as well?
He had a bike with him.
Yeah.
And he was talking to us. And he was, you got all your horses. And I couldn't understand a word he was saying.
I don't think he was actually as dangerous as he looked, but he was covered in tattoos from
head
to toe.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
But I find it incredible that you can buy a first-class ticket to go on the railway system in this country.
Only halfway there.
But you only get halfway there. And then they say, well, sorry, there's no service.
I know, you're absolutely right. But it is a fantastic occasion, Cheltenham. I love it to bits. And first started doing it with Monsieur Brazil.
Mm.
We'd go there and do the breakfast show each day, you know?
Yeah.
And
that must have been a dangerous endeavour.
Well, it's quite dangerous. On the first day, it wasn't bad because, of course, you went to bed at a normal time, you know? But after that, once you get involved, as soon as you finish the breakfast show, you get down to the Guinness tent.
Yeah.
Because it's not a Guinness tent, it's Guinness Village.
Yeah.
Guinness have a village there.
Right.
There's about eight different bars.
Tented village,
The Tented Village, that's right. And we get in there and it's great. And once you get in there and all your pals get together with you, it's very hard to get out of that village.
Yeah, but presumably once night falls, you're out of the whole place, aren't you? I mean, it doesn't stay open all night.
Well, yeah, but you get out and you go back because you get out and usually go to somebody's box for lunch or somebody else's tent for lunch or something like that. And you go back in the afternoon. But then, you know, the caravan, so to speak, moves on.
No, I get that.
You know, to a restaurant on the edge of the course or something.
Yeah, but you don't have to continue on late into the night, do you?
You don't have to, but if you've had 12 pints of Guinness during the day, then it's...
See, I'd be going for a lie down at that point.
I always did. I always did. I never fell foul of it. But one year we were there, and we used to get the use of Lord Vestey's box, because Lord Vestey actually owns Cheltenham,
Does he?
Mm,
he owns Cheltenham. The whole place.
He owns the course. Mm. He owns the course, Lord Vesty. Remember Vesty's the Butchers?
I do.
That was all to the same company. You know what I mean? All that. Yeah. So he was like your lordship, landowner, owner of, you know.
Get to know the guy.
Great Farms. Well, this is what I was going to tell you, because we're in there one morning, okay, and Al and I had done about a 2 hours, about 8 o'clock, and we had already decided to look under the tablecloths of the tables pushed to one side so that we could use the central area as a studio.
Right. I presume you'd asked permission to do this, had you?
Well, this is a contentious issue because we looked under the tablecloths and we found booze.
Did you?
Yes.
I mean, why do you tell these stories as if you're like two sort of public schoolboys away on some kind of a mission of mischief?
Yeah. So anyway, what happened was we decided our throats were getting a bit... You've got to remember that it's about -5 degrees inside the Cheltenham Racecourse in the middle of March. Yes. Seriously, it is freezing.
I mean, it can be very cold.
Never been anywhere colder in my life, honestly. And we used to get Rupert Bell to walk the course because we didn't want to go out in the cold, you know? And Rupert would walk the course.
There's nothing like true professionalism.
No, well, exactly.
So instead, you're sitting in a rather warm box stealing somebody else's liquor.
Well, stealing is not a good word to use.
Borrowing.
You know, borrowing. So, excuse me, on this particular morning, you know, we got stuck in purely for throat purposes and to ward off the cold.
I see.
Because I kept going out and giving painting pictures of
Cleve Hill. I mean, why did you not carry like a flask with you, like many people would do on these occasions, where you have a little a nip of whiskey or something to keep you warm?
Well, I'm not a great whiskey drinker, you
see. No, well, whatever you want, you can put vodka in it. Well, you know, Southern Comfort in it, if you like that. You
know, yeah, I do, but not that time of the morning. You don't want to be walking around with a bottle of Pinot Grigio, do you?
No, that's what I'm saying. You have a flask. Well, the gentleman has. I mean, I've got loads of these flasks, which people used to keep giving me as presents, right? And sometimes you'd take them in the golf bag. Sometimes you'd carry them with you when you went out, you know. And it's very discreet.
Well, if you say so, yeah. But anyway, so one morning about 8:30, Lord Vesty came in.
Oh, yeah. Did you know it was him?
Well, obviously, a bloke walks in full morning suit and all that, and it's day of the big race
and
all that
there's
kind
a lot of people
stuff.
Dressed like that at Cheltenham.
Well, who else would walk into Lord Vesty's box, which is a very private inner sanctum,
well,
except
you were
Lord
in there.
Vesty?
Well, all right. Yeah. Well, you wouldn't necessarily, unless you recognise his face, you wouldn't necessarily know it was him, though.
Yeah, anyway, he came in, and of course, we got caught red-handed.
So
and,
did you have two glasses with you or something?
Yes, that's right, yeah. I think of plastic cups, actually.
Drinking champagne?
Al was, but I don't drink champagne, so...
Unless it's orange juice.
Unless it's a bit of Buck's Fizz, yeah, absolutely. Mimosa, yeah.
Mimosa,
so,
yes.
So, anyway, so I got up and I said, hello, sir, how are you? And,
sir?
Yeah.
What's you calling him sir for?
Well, because he's a Lord of the Realm.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not. What would you call him?
Well, if I knew that he was Lord Vesty, I would say, good morning, Lord Vesty.
Yes, yeah.
Or whatever his first name is.
Well, I got up and I sort of clipped my heels.
I wouldn't
heels.
Say, good morning, sir.
I got up and clipped my heels and I bowed my head, you know, good morning, sir. You know, this is
That's
not what
shocking.
It, yeah, I said, this is not that what it seems. Shocking. And Al was just there grinning, as Al always does in situations, because Al feels comfortable in everybody's company.
That's right.
Whether they be a bin man or a lord of the realm, you know.
That's exactly the way to be.
I was
Whereas
slightly
you're
overawed.
A bit more sort of sedulous,
aren't No, I was slightly overawed. So I said, good morning, sir. I said, it's great to see you. And I can say, this is not what it seems. Mm. Not what it seems. Bit of a problem with the throat. So I pointed to my
Did he know who
throat.
You were at this point?
Well, I assume so, because we'd given him permission to put, you know, in those days, you had to put ISDN lines into a box, you know. So
but presumably you'd paid to be there as well, hadn't you?
What do you mean?
Well, had you not paid somebody to actually occupy the box?
No, I think the whole idea is that if you get TalkSport to the Cheltenham Festival, then you're promoting the festival, you know. And it was a deal like that, you know. So anyway... this went on for about 15 or 20 minutes.
Yes.
And the guy was shuffling around the room, you know, and he started looking under the table. And I thought, he's trying to find out how much we've drunk already, you know. And I thought...
Well, was he not engaging in conversation with you?
A little bit.
And you were still doing the radio show?
Yeah, but like in the breaks, I'd get up again and say, this is not what it seems. You know, point to my throat, you know, just a bit of cold air in the throat.
Yeah, he must have loved you, this guy.
I hope you don't
Lord,
mind.
My Lord Vesty.
Anyway, after about the fourth time that I'd said, you know, my Lord, he said, why do you keep calling me my Lord?
Yeah.
I said, well, because I just want to thank you very much for letting us use your box, Lord Vesty.
Yes.
He said, I'm not Lord Vesty. I said, who are you? He said, I'm Lord Vesty's butler.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what I said. Yeah, so how did you know it's Lord Vesty?
No, I didn't, you know. Mm. And so from that moment on, all was well.
So what did you call him then? Did you stop calling him Sir?
Yeah, of course I did, yeah.
And what was his real name?
I've no idea.
Well, you can call him Fred or something, whatever.
I don't know.
So he didn't care, presumably, if you drank some of the champagne?
He didn't seem to. He sort of said, no, it's all right, you know, we were our guests and all that kind of stuff. So, but, of course, Al handled it with a plume, you know, he kind of didn't
care.
Or
even a plum. Yeah. Well, I remember the last time we went down there and we had to find our way to Paddy Power's box, right?
That's right.
And you assured me that you knew exactly where it was.
I did.
And I remember we walked in, because you come out of the station, you can take a variety of methods of getting up to the
I think
we
went for a bit of beer lubrication first.
I think we did, because the problem is sometimes, depending on what time you get there,
yes.
you come off the train and there's a massive queue to get onto a double-decker bus, there which is. Will take you up to the ground.
That's right.
Other people like to take cabs.
Yeah.
And I think we had decided that we were going to take a cab
yeah.
because we didn't fancy the queue for the bus. But the queue for the cabs was even
bigger.
Because
of the great unwashed.
Yeah, yeah, it's even bigger, though.
Yeah.
And also, without wishing to put too fine a point on it, it's quite difficult going places like that with you because everyone recognises you. And so,
well,
I mean,
recognises both these days.
To,
yeah.
Nowadays, to a large extent, they recognise both of us. But in those days, in the early days, it was more you that was more recognisable. So it's very difficult to actually get on a bus. Because I remember once we got a bus back, and you were particularly, shall we say, three sheets to the wind.
No, no, excited by the day's events.
Excited by the day's events. And you were singing, right? And
well, I probably had a winning hand, you see.
Well, I think we've both done very well at Cheltenham.
We
always
do
quite well.
Yeah, that's right.
I think we both won quite a bit of money. But you were singing,
yes.
And people on the top deck of this bus were not enjoying it as much as perhaps you thought they were. And they all knew who you were. And I kept trying to get you to pipe down, but you seemed to, that just seemed to spur you on to be even louder.
Didn't seem to do me any harm
in
the long run.
In the end, no. But one time we went, if you remember, and you said, don't worry, I know exactly where the paddy power box is.
Yes.
It's right by the finishing line.
That's right.
So we went through this kind of, you know, cavalcade of gates and doors and upstairs, downstairs. And we got there, and they'd moved, and it wasn't there at all.
Yeah.
And in fact, it was at the other side of the ground.
It was.
Right down towards the very, very end of the grandstand.
By the way, what a pain it is getting round Cheltenham Racecourse on a day of the Gold Cup. It is so packed, it's unbelievable.
Right. So we ended up in that kind of Guinness tented area, I think, which
is
where
it
was.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was still smoking in those days, and the problem I had was every time I went up, first of all, they said we didn't have the right badges to get in, because we only had a sort of general badge, so we had to sort that all out.
Yeah.
So it was very badly organised. If we do, all I would say to you this year is if we do it, can we please make sure that whoever it is you're going to go with has got a decent seat?
I think we will.
Very near the... Because we were so far away from the finish line, we couldn't even see what was going on.
We certainly couldn't, but there we are. But you see all sorts of footballers there, you know, Alan McAnally, Chris Kamara, all sorts of people, it's a great day out.
Now, it is a great day out, but it's very taxing on the old liver.
It's very taxing.
Very taxing, generally speaking, on your body, depending on what you've been doing the night before and what you have to do afterwards.
Yeah. Do you remember we got in that box and Ruby Walsh was there?
Ruby Walsh, that was the year we won big.
I was going to say, we followed all his tips.
Yep. His tips were incredible.
Fantastic. And that was when Paul and Andy were doing their show from inside that box.
Hawksby Jacobs always do a show somewhere, don't they?
Absolutely, yeah. So,
and it's usually Paddy Power, and that's where it was. In fact, when we went and found the place that was too far away from the actual grandstand.
That's right.
That was another day of great results.
But indeed.
No, Ruby Walsh, incredible. I think we won on every single race.
I think we did.
The time you tried to nick a bottle of wine?
Well, you see, I didn't. See, I'm too honest. This is the point. Now, Paddy Power himself...
Yeah, Paddy That's Power never himself. Been said before.
No, Paddy Power himself is an old pal of mine. And what happened was I loved the design of the bottles in the middle of the tables, which are holding the candles, okay? To give it a...
Oh, I thought it was a bottle of wine that you were after.
Well, it was, but the bottle of wine had been used.
Emptied.
And then they'd put... Yeah, and they'd put a candle in it, you know what I mean?
Nice.
And decoratively. So I looked at this and I thought, wow, what a beautiful bottle. I'd love to take that home. So I went and found Paddy. We're all in the same box, obviously. I said, Paddy, look, I said, don't want to do anything underhand or duplicitous. I said, but can I take that bottle home? It's this beautifully decorated bottle, you know, of hand-painted and all that kind of stuff. And Paddy shouted across the box to one of his colleagues. He said, hey, Jim, we need these bottles for tomorrow or are we packing up or what?
I didn't realise he was from Belfast.
Yeah, no,
he was from Dublin.
He was in Dublin. And the guy said, oh, no, Paddy, we've got another lunch tomorrow. We need them tomorrow. Or, mate, sorry. Yeah, you should have done. Should have just nicked it.
Should have just nicked it.
And just got off with it. He said, you're too honest. You shouldn't have asked me. So then I thought, well, why don't I just nick it now? But then, of course, the game was up because he would have known I would have nicked it.
Exactly.
Should have just gone off with it.
You should have just gone off
but
with
very
it.
Very nice guy, Paddy.
Yeah, well, we've got plenty of other stories to talk about. Let's just stop here for a moment and have a listen to this.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
There was another time, I remember, when we had finished at the race course and we had to, for some reason, get an early train back.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Because I can't remember why.
We just wanted to beat the crowds.
No, I think we wanted to beat the crowds, but so we'd managed to get away early. Mm. But we thought we had more time than we really did.
Well, I got the time of the train wrong, so went to Tesco's and bought some booze for
yeah,
the train.
That's right.
Yeah.
But then we then decided, I think, to go. There's a pub just by the station.
There is.
Which had a kind of also a tent put up outside.
And trestle tables.
And trestle tables and a barbecue and that's all right. that. But there was nobody there, so it was empty.
No, that's right.
And I think we were going to just go and have a quick pint. Because the ridiculous thing is, right, you get to the point where you've had so much to drink.
Yeah.
That you just kind of continue. And it doesn't really have any effect on
you. Well, also, mostly speaking, in the boxes, you drink wine or spirits.
Champagne,
and champagne a lot. Yeah. And a couple of pints is actually very welcome at that time of the day, you know, to sort of...
Well, I don't know about that.
...wash everything down. You
I'm
know
not
I mean?
Sure you need to wash everything down. Your theory of pint drinking is just something that we must explore perhaps on another podcast.
Maybe,
because I'm not sure anybody else would have the same view as you. Because you're the only person I know, by the way, who doesn't think that drinking beer actually equates to drinking at all.
Well, you know, it's a lot weaker in sense than, you know, drinking copious amounts of gin or
Well, it's weaker up to a point.
Wine.
But if you drink, you know, five or six or seven or eight pints...
Yeah, well, I don't.
You know,
I don't.
Well, you say you don't, but... I mean, the idea that you wash down a day's drinking with a couple of pints
well,
in the pub.
Yeah, but that's
it's not normal.
That's to sort of flush out the system, if you see what I
mean.
Well,
that's
it's not
say.
As strong as wine.
But we ended up in a kind of bizarre situation where a couple of guys appeared right, who knew us.
Yes.
And they were being quite friendly and chatty and they wanted a picture and we did all that. And we were kind of keeping an eye on the time because we weren't sure precisely when the train was.
Yeah.
And it was only down, you know, 5 minutes away. So we
it was.
Worried. But suddenly some guy kind of shuffled into the picture who seemed to take exception to something that I had either said or that you had said.
Really?
And started having... Do you not remember these guys?
No, I don't remember.
Started having
a
go at these guys, saying, why are you hanging around with these two losers, you know?
Yeah.
Suddenly it was an awkward situation, which could have easily kind of erupted into a bit of violence.
Yes.
And, you know, a bit of sort of axe throwing or whatever.
But
we somehow managed to calm the guy down. But he was very obnoxious.
And I think, actually, I thought, all right, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And so I said, look, we want to go to the station. I said, we've got 20 minutes. It, but we'll go anyway.
Yes.
So we walked down the steps onto the platform.
Yeah. Well, you had to go down a funny way, didn't you?
That's right.
You go in the normal front.
Well, what they did is they were steering people one way into the station and one way out.
Right.
So you couldn't just go in and out of the same doors.
Right.
And then we got onto the platform and I said, oh, I wonder where this train's going.
Yeah.
And it said it was going in like 90 seconds.
Yes.
And I said,
well, the train was sitting at the station.
It was, yeah.
And we didn't think that was our train.
No. So
we
I
were
said
still
to
kind
guy,
of casually walking around. You were carrying this big bag full
that's
of
right.
bottles.
That's right, yeah. Right. And I said to the railway company worker,
yes.
So where's this train going, mate?
The guard.
Yeah, he said it's going to London. Mm. I said, really? I said, well, you know,
when's it going? He's like, it's going now.
Yeah, we've got tickets for the train in 20 minutes.
Yeah.
He said, there's a train in 20 minutes. I said, what? And we just about managed to get on before,
just got on before
disappeared.
They shut all the doors. Yeah.
But at least we got back into town. Now, on Monica... excuse me.
You all right there?
The winter flu's got us, folks.
Yeah, it has, yeah.
On one occasion, I flew there in a helicopter.
Did you?
Mm.
What, from London?
From Battersea Heliport.
Yes. Well, one of the most amazing things when you're standing overlooking the racecourse, as we've been normally, you know, right by the wheel post, is the number. You just one helicopter after another.
That's right.
Coming in.
That's right.
Quite extraordinary.
It is quite extraordinary. So anyway, I decided to be Billy Boot Boots this day.
Right.
So I
chartered. Like you?
No, not like me. I chartered a helicopter, and
that set you back.
I think it was about $2,500, right? But and it was myself. It was our colleague, Loren, from TalkSport.
Yeah.
I think two of Al's daughters came, because we were meeting Al at Cheltenham.
Okay.
We'd gone by a different route or whatever,
or
he'd been there the day before or something. And so that would make... Yeah, that'd be it. That'd be about four people. And because you get three in the back and one in the front next to the pilot.
Is that like a Bell Ranger or something like
that? Yeah, it would be something like that. Absolutely right. And it takes off, you know, at the heliport, and then you head north. Now, I'm not going to do that again. Do you know why? It's too far in a helicopter. It takes over an hour.
Right.
Now, the best trip in a helicopter to a racecourse is from that very same route, Battersea Heliport, to Epsom. Because you come up into the air at the Battersea Heliport, and you can actually see the flags on the top of the main stand at Epsom.
Yeah.
From...
Because it's only about 10 miles away, isn't it, or something? 12, maybe?
Probably 12 or something like that. You're absolutely right. And that's just about the length you need to experience the helicopter going up, flying and coming down
again. So they charge by the hour then?
They,
as well.
Do you know what a helicopter charges? It's quite amazing. It only charges for the time it's in the air.
Right.
So this one only costs about $1,000 or $1,200 to get to Epsom. I think it's charged by the hour.
But it's only on for 10 minutes. That's quite a lot of money, isn't
it? Yeah, but I think you
pay £100 a minute.
No, but you have to pay by the hour or the first
hour.
Yeah,
but that's
£100
a minute, isn't it?
Yeah, well, something like that, yeah. But anyway, the point is...
Man of the people.
Man of the people. By the time, on the occasion we went to Cheltenham in the chopper, you park in the chopper field and you get off and they've got a car to whisk you to where you're going.
So
you
where
know
are
you
going, right, OK. Because you wouldn't want to get off the helicopter and then schlep across the
No, you wouldn't, the
muddy
grass
field,
and all that. No, it's absolutely right, yeah. And anyway, had a great day and all that. And then I actually forgot we were going home by helicopter. You know,
you forgot?
Yeah, well, I kind of, you know...
Well, that was nothing to do with the amount of alcohol you didn't
buy. Well, in my head, I thought, now, hang on, am I staying here tonight? Where's my hotel? Then I thought, no, I'm not staying. How did I get here? Oh, I must be on a train. And then somebody reminded me, Mike, are you ready? I said, yeah, ready for what? You know, the helicopter. I said, helicopter?
I'm amazed you're still alive.
Yeah,
there have been so many opportunities for you to have died.
Yeah, so amazingly, we get in the helicopter, right, to fly back, and it's dark. Mm. Now, years ago, there were some terrible helicopter crashes in the dark, including Matthew...
Matthew from Chelsea, the
vice chairman of Chelsea. I'll remember his name in a minute, but he was a good pal of mine.
Yeah.
And he was a reinsurer, and he made a £150 million fortune in a couple of years, and all that kind of stuff. And Matthew Harding, who they named the stand after. And he had been killed tragically in a helicopter crash. And I found out...
I'm not sure I'd fancy flying in the dark.
Well, this is the point. And I found out later that the pilot who'd piloted his helicopter that day didn't have enough experience to really be flying at night.
Yes.
But he couldn't turn down the opportunity to take that mission because he thought he'd never get a job again.
Because it was too expensive. Also, I think we spoke to a guy, did we not long ago, who's a helicopter pilot.
That's right.
He explained how if you are only a sort of day flight person...
Yeah.
Technically speaking, the helicopter company should supply another pilot.
That's right.
But if somehow things get delayed, it's just the way it works. You know, it's just the way it goes.
And then you lose the balance between the sky and the ground, and it all turns into tragedy.
Yeah, it's very tricky. Though.
However, fortunately, I'd had enough to drink to put all these fears behind me, away all these fears, and we all piled back onto the helicopter, you know. And, you know, all the girls had had a few drinks and all that. They were all very happy.
Yeah.
But then the amazing thing was, I said to the guy who was flying, I said, do we have to go all the way back into London?
Well, where do you want to go?
Redhill Aerodrome in Stockbroker Belt.
Well, because it's close to where you want to live.
Yeah, it's close to where I do live.
Yeah.
So he said, where do you want to go? And I said, is there any chance of touching down in Redhill?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, we can do that. And I said, really? He said, yeah. So we touched down in Redhill. I got out of the chopper. The girl stayed on, and he went back up, and he flew them to...
And how did you get from Redhill to your place, then?
A car. I just got a taxi, and it just took me home.
But the thing
and
about
that saved about, like, 2 hours.
I mean, you say it's too far to go in a helicopter, but, I mean, one of the things that really finishes you off and absolutely wrecks your week is the travelling time to get to Cheltenham. And we've said you can sometimes take 2.5 hours to get there on a train.
Yes.
2.5 hours back. I mean, it's a very, very long day.
It's a long day, but I think in future I would arrange it with good planning and stay over.
Stay somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But I imagine if you want to stay somewhere now at Cheltenham, you better book it now, wouldn't you?
Yes, you would have to book it now. But I'm talking about, you know, when you think about the cost of hiring a helicopter compared to the cost of a premium room, which you'd have to, you'd be £350 a night, you know what I mean?
Of course.
Like that.
Absolutely.
Then obviously you should book it now and sort it that way. You're absolutely right.
Funny enough, the first time I went to Cheltenham was in the autumn time.
Oh, right, okay.
Because it was when I was working
at the
Express.
Was that another Paddy Power meeting? When,
no, this was when I was still working at the Express.
Right.
And I'd become part of the kind of, executive thing.
Yeah.
It was after you'd gone, I think, and it was Nick Lloyd had a box. And it was
Saturday. The Express. Funny enough, I went to one of those with Paul Potts. Yeah.
And it was a Saturday.
Yeah.
And so I'd been somehow elevated high enough up the rankings to merit an invitation.
Yeah.
So I went there with my wife then, Susan. Drove all the way from Wiltshire to there.
Yeah.
And incredibly just it was very muddy. I just remember parking in this car park and walking across this muddy field.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Completely covered in mud. Met Chris Buckland was there. Heather McGlone was there with her husband, who was very dismissive of everything she ever said.
Yeah,
and all he was interested in was winning money.
Who was that? Was that Vinny or something? What was
his name? Not Vinny. He was the guy that used to be the editor of the Evening News.
Evening News, that's right.
Yeah.
And then didn't
he married every person that he married was called Heather.
That's right. Yeah. And then didn't the Daily Mail take pity on him when the Evening News closed down?
I think they did.
Yeah. What's his name?
I can't remember.
That.
He's since died. Of course, he's not around anymore. Yeah. But anyway, what happened was he basically arranged for all of these. Philippa Kennedy was there as well.
Yeah.
He arranged for all these people who basically hated each other. And we're always constantly in each other's throats. And he then made a phone call. I think Paul Potts was there as well. Made a phone call just before the lunch was due to be served to announce that he wasn't coming.
Oh, right.
So everybody was stuck in this room.
So did he work for the Express then?
Who?
The guy you're talking about?
No, he was Heather McGlone's husband. So
So he wasn't going to come. Did she come?
No, Nick Lloyd didn't come.
Oh, Nick Lloyd didn't come.
You're not listening to what I'm saying. Yeah. She was there with her husband. I was there with my wife.
Yeah. So Nick Lloyd, Sir Nicholas Lloyd, the editor.
Paul Potts was there with his wife. But Sir Nicholas Lloyd, the editor, who had arranged for everybody to come and who had sent out all the invitations and everybody went because they all wanted to suck up to the editor.
That's right.
He then said, I'm not coming.
Wow.
So it was hilarious because, of course, then everybody went, well, what are we going to do now?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're all forced to talk to each other.
Drink all the free booze.
We drank all the free booze and actually won quite a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's,
and luckily, I think my ex-wife decided that she wasn't going to drink, so she had to drive us home.
Really?
But it took a hell of a time.
Yeah. Oh,
even
to get
back from there to Wiltshire, which is relatively close, took about 2 hours.
Getting to Cheltenham is the worst thing about it. If you go by car, make sure you start off at 5 a.m. in the morning, because by 7 a.m, the roads around Cheltenham are packed.
I know.
And let me tell you this. If you're going to London, you go down the M4, you turn right at the Swindon turning, and then you are in the lap of the gods.
Well, that's
it
the way
is
we
B
went.
Roads.
That's
it's,
the way
it's
we
all
went.
B roads.
Well,
then.
That's the problem.
You go through all these little villages.
It's starting to put me off going now.
You go past Cirencester Agricultural College.
Cirencester, yes.
Yeah.
Big Roman ruins there.
That's right.
Cirencester. It's
all
a
of
terrible
that.
Place to get to.
Yeah, it is. Shocking.
I'm not sure I want to go now. You've now talked to me for half an hour about Cheltenham.
Well,
and now I don't think I want to go.
Well, I think we may get an offer to go. So we're going to have to ask for facilities, i.e. a stopover at night or a car to get us there and back or something like that.
Okay. We may have to gird our loins as well because, you know, I'm not sure I'm ready for it.
We'll make you ready for it, don't worry. It's a great sporting event. That arena, right, that arena is one of the great sporting locations in
beautiful.
The world. Cleve Hill opposite, right?
Well, there's always that phrase, isn't there? I can see the sun shining up on Cleve Hill.
Well, I invented that. The first year we did
it,
I said, Al, I'll go out on the balcony. And I said, the sun is rising over... No, I didn't say it in a Scottish accent.
Why
actually.
Not?
I don't know. I said, the sun is rising over Cleve Hill. I said, this magnificent sporting arena is waking up. The Bergervans to my right. Mm. The bookies to the left with their electronic machines. It's all happening. And one year, right, I stayed in Broadway, which is one of the prettiest villages in the Cotswolds.
Right.
There's that great... hotel there.
Yes, the Ligon Arms, is it?
The Ligon Arms, that's right, where we used to go and have think tanks, right. And one afternoon I decided I'm not going into the Guinness tent, so I went back to our hotel in Broadway and I climbed Broadway Hill.
Yeah.
And I got to the top and I had an unreal, unnatural experience of being so isolated and in the clouds. And I watched all the helicopters fluttering out of the track because you could see the course from the top of Broadway.
You weren't hallucinating, were you?
Well, do you know what? The oxygen was so thin up there, I thought it might have been.
Yeah, it's not bloody Everest.
But it was an amazing sense of isolation.
Really?
And they had a bench, just one bench. Mm. And I sat there all afternoon and watched everything going on down below. I'd take the bottle with me just to keep my... me company, you know. Yeah.
That's disgusting.
But I hold this bottle all the way up to the top of Broadway
Hill. Well, listen, I'll see you in Cheltenham then.
I think we'll see. Yeah, could see each other in Cheltenham, yeah. What do you mean, just see me in Cheltenham? I'll be going with you to Cheltenham.
No,
what about that?
Not if I can help it.
Not letting you get away.
No, not if I can help it. That's on the record. We'll see you next time.
So I got up and I said, hello, sir, how are you? And,
sir?
Yeah.
What's going sir for?
Well, because he's a Lord of the Realm.
That's ridiculous.
No, it's not. What would you call him?
Well, if I knew that he was Lord Vesty, I would say, good morning, Lord Vesty.
Yes, yeah.
Or whatever his first name is.
Well, I got up and I sort of clipped my
heels. I wouldn't
say,
good morning, sir.
I got up and clipped my heels and I bowed my head, you know, good morning, sir. You know, this is
that's
not what
shocking.
It, yeah, I said, this is not that what it seems. Shocking. And Al was just there grinning, as Al always does in situations, because Al feels comfortable in everybody's company.
That's right.
Whether they be a bin man or a Lord of the Realm, you know.
That's exactly the way to be.
I was
Whereas
slightly
you're a bit more sort of sedulous, aren't
you? No, I was slightly overawed.
Anyway, what happened was he basically arranged for all of these. Philippa Kennedy was there as well.
Yeah.
He arranged for all these people who basically hated each other and were all constantly in each other's throats. And he then made a phone call. I think Paul Potts was there as well. Made a phone call just before the lunch was due to be served to announce that he wasn't coming.
Oh, right.
So everybody was stuck in his room.
So did he work for the Express then?
Who?
The guy you're talking about?
No, he was Heather McGlone's husband. So
So he wasn't going to come. Did she come?
No, Nick Lloyd didn't come.
Oh, Nick Lloyd didn't come.
You're not listening to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
She was there with her husband. I was there with my wife.
So Nick Lloyd, Sir Nicholas Lloyd, the editor.
Paul Potts was there with his wife. But Sir Nicholas Lloyd, the editor, who had arranged for everybody to come and who had sent out all the invitations.
Yeah.
And everybody went because they all wanted to suck up to the editor.
That's right.
He then said, I'm not coming.
Wow.
So it was hilarious because, of course, then everybody went, well, what are we going to do now?
Yeah, exactly.
So we're all forced to talk to each other.
Drink all the free booze.
We drank all the free booze and actually won quite a lot of money.
Hey, Jim, We need these bottles for tomorrow, or are we packing up or what?
I didn't realise it was from Belfast.
Yeah, no, no, it was
from Dublin.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.